All right, ready to dive into another fascinating case.
Always. Lay it on me.
Today, we're looking at State v. DeLauder, a case that really throws a wrench into the balance between witness privacy and the right to a fair trial.
Ooh, that's a juicy one, especially when you consider the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause. This case really digs into how we protect victims while ensuring justice for the accused.
Exactly. We're going back to 1975 Maryland for this one. Picture this. Lee Franklin DeLauder gets convicted in 72 of carnal knowledge of a pretty serious charge.
Yeah, he ends up with a 15-year sentence, not a slap on the wrist.
And get this, DeLauder always maintained he was innocent. His defense team thought the accuser might have fabricated the allegations.
They had a theory, right, to hide a possible pregnancy from her mother.
Right. So they wanted to introduce evidence of the accuser's past sexual history to support that theory.
Interesting strategy. Basically arguing it showed a motive to lie.
But the trial court said, nope, not going to happen. They blocked that line of questioning to protect the accuser's privacy.
Ah, I see where this is going. That's got to be tricky territory.
Absolutely. DeLauder's team argued this restriction on cross-examination totally violated his Sixth Amendment right to confront his accuser.
Makes sense. They'd feel like their hands were tied.
And here's where things get even more interesting. Just 2 years before DeLauder's appeal, the Supreme Court drops this bombshell decision in Davis v. Alaska.
Oh yeah, Davis. A landmark case. It basically clarified that defendants have the right to question a witness's potential bias, even if it means revealing sensitive information.
Talk about a game changer. So DeLauder's lawyers file a post-conviction petition citing Davis. They're basically saying, hold up, the trial court's restriction wasn't just about evidence, it was a major constitutional error.
Right, they're pushing back hard. It becomes this question of, did protecting the accuser step on DeLauder's right to a solid defense?
And that's the heart of this deep dive. It forces us to grapple with a fundamental tension in our justice system. How much do we prioritize protecting the vulnerable while upholding the right to a fair trial?
A question that still resonates today. This case is far from just a historical footnote.
Buckle up, because we're about to unpack all of this and more.
So we're left with some pretty thorny issues. Like, did limiting DeLauder's cross-examination actually violate his Sixth Amendment rights, you know, as defined by that Davis ruling?
Yeah, it's like Davis sets this precedent, but did it rewrite the rules for DeLauder retroactively?
Exactly. So let's back up to Davis v. Alaska for a sec. The Supreme Court said that a defendant's right to expose a witness's potential bias could actually outweigh state laws protecting sensitive information.
Right, and in that case, the defense wanted to use a witness's juvenile record to show he might have a reason to lie.
Right.
And the court said even though it was sealed, the defendant still had the right to use that info.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that apply to DeLauder?
Well, in DeLauder, the defense argued that the accuser might have made up the accusations because she was afraid of how her mom would react to a possible pregnancy.
Oh.
They said it created a motive to lie, similar to the bias issue in Davis.
I see. Both cases are about hidden motives, right? Things that could make a witness's story less believable.
Exactly. And this is where things get really interesting. The Maryland Court of Special Appeals actually sided with DeLauder.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They said restricting his cross-examination was a, and I quote, constitutional error of the first magnitude.
Whoa, that's a strong statement. So are they saying that the trial court's concern for the accuser's privacy, while important, couldn't outweigh DeLauder's right to a strong defense?
Exactly. They basically said the right to cross-examine to expose potential bias is just fundamental to a fair trial, even if it means getting into sensitive areas.
Wow. To drive that point home, they even quoted Davis. Something like, the desirability that the prosecutrix fulfill her public duty must fall before the right of an accused to seek out the truth.
Powerful stuff. It really shows how essential that right is.
It definitely highlights the tension between protecting people and ensuring a fair trial. But what about the whole retroactivity thing? Did they say Davis applied backward in time?
They did. They said new constitutional rules that are designed to make trials more accurate should be applied retroactively.
Interesting.
They argued that finding the truth in a trial is so important that it trumps everything, even for cases that happened before a new rule came about.
Okay, so even though Davis v. Alaska came after DeLauder's trial, the court applied its principles to his case because it impacted his ability to defend himself. Big outcome.
Huge. It solidified the idea that the Sixth Amendment can sometimes be more important than state rules about evidence, especially when it comes to exposing potential bias. DeLauder really shook things up in the legal world because of that.
So what does this all mean for lawyers and everyone else following these legal battles? What are the big takeaways?
Well, for defense attorneys, it's a reminder to really dig into witness motives, even in sensitive cases. Don't be afraid to push the boundaries and challenge those evidentiary rulings. For prosecutors, it shows how important it is to think ahead about these confrontation clause challenges and build strong cases that can stand up to tough cross-examination.
Sounds like Steve V. DeLauder is a case that really showed how crucial the Sixth Amendment is for protecting the rights of the accused. But how do you see this applying to cases today, especially with the rise of movements like hashtag MeToo?
Mm-hmm.
How do we reconcile this precedent with protecting victims? That's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, DeLauder drew a line in the sand, but it also kind of opened up this Pandora's box.
For sure. It's a tough situation.
You have this fundamental right
to challenge the accuser.
Exactly. But how do you balance that with the very real possibility of re-traumatizing victims, especially in cases of sexual assault?
Yeah, it's a balancing act, that's for sure.
It really is.
DeLauder sets a precedent, but using it now is tricky.
Yeah.
You've got that right to poke holes in their story, but then there's the impact
on the victim.
Yeah, that kind of questioning can be rough.
And you know what? It might even stop some victims from coming forward at all.
Right, exactly.
So scary.
Courts are always wrestling with this. How do we protect the vulnerable without totally undercutting the right to a fair trial? It's tough. There's no easy answer.
Yep.
And cases like DeLauder remind us this isn't going away anytime soon.
So we're kind of stuck, right? This precedent is so important for protecting the rights of the accused. But it also brings up some serious ethical questions.
You got it. DeLauder shows us something really important about the law. These big legal principles, especially something as basic as the Sixth Amendment, they have a ripple effect.
They do.
They don't just impact the case right in front of you. They make us face these huge questions about fairness, about justice, and how we balance individual rights with protecting those who need it most.
Well, there you have it, folks. State v. DeLauder. A case that throws a spotlight on how complicated the Sixth Amendment's Confrontation Clause can be. The whole idea of retroactivity and this ongoing fight to make sure our justice system is fair and keeps up with the times. We hope this deep dive is giving you something to think about. See you next time. Mm-hmm.